If you're going to be with us this morning, we're going to be in two different places. We'll start off in Matthew chapter 28, but our primary verse this morning will be 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So if you want to turn to Matthew 28, maybe put a finger in there and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. The verses will be up on the screen this morning, or you can follow along with us if you'd like. We're concluding our third week in our three-week series, Basic Discipleship. And so we have looked the first week at the example of discipleship we have in Scripture. Discipleship is not just a suggestion, but a commandment and shown to us over and over again, especially through the New Testament with the disciples who are following Christ, and then also those who are following Peter and John, and then we looked at a specific example with Paul. Then last week we talked a little bit deeper about discipleship, and we kind of fleshed out a little bit of what we're supposed to be doing and the benefits of discipleship and how one-on-one discipleship helps us personally to grow. And we get this series from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We like to call it the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we have this clear commandment, make disciples, and we've been asking the question, what is a disciple? And this morning we're going to look at the plan of discipleship. How does this all work? How does this all fit together? How are we supposed to make discipleship happen? And so we're going to spend quite a bit of time this morning just looking at some numbers. Now, how many of you all are numbers people? Excellent. How many of you all hate numbers? All right, good news. I've put words with the numbers so everyone can follow along. We're actually going to look at what Scripture says about making disciples and why it is the plan that Jesus Christ uses. Have you ever tried to do something on your own and realize it's a bad idea? Have you ever started into a project and started working on something and then when you're halfway through, maybe it's too late and you realize, I shouldn't have done this? Oh, about 2 years ago, I had an issue with my phone's battery, and got an iPhone, and you can't just replace those batteries. You've got to take them in, and they charge you an arm and a leg. But you know what? YouTube tells you how to do anything. And so I YouTube how to change my phone's battery. I ordered a battery. I ordered a kit to take my iPhone apart, and I got into it, and I followed the instructions very carefully. I popped the back cover off, and I got the old battery out, and I used the tools to make sure I get the new battery in there, and I popped the cover back on there, and I go to start it back up, and I realize I had a very bad plan. Because that phone never did turn back on. So I take it apart and I reconnect and I rewire and I put the cover back on, and guess what? That phone still doesn't turn back on. So what do? I take it into a professional. I say, I guess I've got to pay somebody. He said, yeah, if you'd have brought it into me, I could have changed it for $20, but you fried everything. It's going to be about $400 to fix this thing. But that was a bad plan, wasn't it? You get halfway and you realize you've totally messed it up. A lot of times we do things on our own and we realize our plans are not the best plans, our ways are not the best ways, and our will, well, it's not the best will. So this morning, I don't want to look at our plan for discipleship. I want to ask, what is the Word of God say about discipleship? How are we to carry out discipleship? Have you ever wondered how we're going to grow our church? And I don't just mean First Baptist Church, specifically us, but then how are we going to grow the church? How are we going to reach people for Christ? How are we going to share the gospel message with others and have them understand the love of God? How are we going to get the word out? There are a million different books written. There are hundreds of thousands of training available. We have so many different ideas on how to reach the world for Christ. And can I tell you, it's ironic, all the money that's poured into trying to develop a plan, that Scripture tells us very clearly how to do it. We could have saved a whole lot of time and a whole lot of effort if we just read what God tells us to do. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now listen to this plan that Paul is relaying. "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." This is the plan. This is the specifics. What you have heard, that is the gospel message, that is how Jesus Christ can save each person, what you have heard, commit to faithful men. Tell it to other people who then can teach it to others, who then can teach it to others, who then can teach it to others. This is the plan of discipleship. The gospel message that you know, share with someone else and teach them how to share it with someone else. This is what Scripture tells us is the plan of discipleship. Now, I don't want to knock training for evangelism. As a matter of fact, we have some wonderful training on how to start a conversation and share your faith. And if you've signed up to be a part of our Right Now Media ministry, you can find that training through Right Now Media. I would encourage you to sign up for a free account. There's all sorts of Bible studies on evangelism or on family or on any topic you can imagine. And we specifically have a custom study on how to share your faith with others. They're wonderful. But the plan is simpler than that. The plan is what you know about the salvation you have. Share it with someone else and teach them how to share it with someone else. So this morning, before we kind of get into the application, before we get into what are we supposed to do with this plan, I just want to share with you how the plan works. And so I did some research, real sophisticated digging, got into some really thick manuals, and realized I didn't have all the answers. So I did what any sane person would do, and I asked Siri. I asked Siri, how many people are in the world? And this is what Siri tells me. The population of the world is about 7.13 billion people. So we have a mission, church. All we have to do is reach 7.13 billion people. That is our goal. If you're confused on why the number is so big, we can turn to scripture after scripture that says it's God's will that every person know the gospel and trust Christ. It's God's will that every individual understand what salvation is. Every individual means not just those in Robinson, but all 7.13 billion people on the planet. And as far as I can tell, there's two methods to reach these people. There's the win as many to Christ as you can method, or there's the discipleship method. So let's set an unrealistic goal today. Our first unrealistic goal is this. Let's commit to reach 50,000 people every day for Christ. That's it. All you have to do is reach 50,000 people for Christ. How many of you all are on board to start this mission of reaching 50,000 people? Right. This was the lowest number I could start with, okay? Plan B is let's take what the Bible says and try the discipleship, where you take one person and teach them how to reach one more person. Then the two of you take two people and teach them how to reach two more people, and then four, and so on and so forth. And see how Scripture uses this method to reach the world. Let's start with our first 50,000 people every day. This is our goal, and this is our best chance to reach as many people as we can. Can you imagine the revivals we could have if we could fit 50,000 people in one place and have every single one of them say, yes, I understand that Jesus Christ loves me. He offers me salvation and forgiveness, and I want to follow Him. 50,000 people. This is our goal. This is what we're shooting for. And in this method, what we find is after 1 year, we can reach the entire state of Illinois. Now, this is encouraging news. Illinois is a big state, especially when you get the northern part of the state, you know, northern Illinois as opposed to actual Illinois. You know, we see that there's a lot of people in the state of Illinois, and we can reach about 18.2 million people in a year if only we can reach 50,000 every single day. Now, if you think that sounds unrealistic, let's keep the big picture in mind. We're trying to reach the world. We need a big number. So let's use this model and use this method to do our best to win people for Christ. And in a year, we can reach the state of Illinois. It would take us 6.5 years to reach the entire East Coast. If we then skipped over from Illinois and went straight to the Atlantic Ocean and started up north and worked our way down, we would reach somewhere around 118.7 million people, or the entire eastern seaboard. Again, 6.5 years, 50,000 people a day. Then if we kept going at that pace for 10 years, we could reach everybody to the east of the Mississippi River. Isn't this exciting how the gospel is expanding with merely 50,000 people a day? That's it. We can reach the entire eastern part of the United States east of the Mississippi River. And something amazing happens if we can keep this pace up for 17 and a half years. The entire United States knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It takes us only 17 and a half years at 50,000 people a day. How many of you all are signed up for this exciting plan to reach our nation for Christ? Anybody? All we have to do is 50,000. God's got a better plan. God's got a better method, one that's a little more realistic. Let's imagine for a minute you as an individual, don't worry about reaching 50,000 people. Over the next 6 months, you made it your goal to pray for and lead one person to Christ, just one. Now, how many of you all are more apt to reach one person to Christ than 50,000? Anybody in here say, I can sign up for one? One person a day in 6 months, and this crazy exponential thing starts to happen. At the end of day one, guess how many believers we have? Just you, okay? You've not gotten to your 6 months yet. At the end of 6 months, guess how many believers you have? All right, math people. Two, right? You and the person you led to Christ that you're discipling. But that person then is going to take the next 6 months and do what you're doing. Pray for and lead someone to Christ. That's all we want to do. Pray for and lead someone to Christ. And if we can do that, then at the end of a year, how many people will we have? Four, right? Those two reach two more. And so on and so forth. Now, our one-year goal seems a lot smaller than 50,000 a day. We can either reach the entire state of Illinois for Christ, or we can reach four people for Christ. Let's follow this method of discipleship a little bit further. It would take us 6.5 years to reach just Robinson, Illinois, using this discipleship method. 6.5 years. Contrast that to our 6.5-year plan that reaches the East Coast, doing it the other way. Then we find that if we can just work for 12 years, the entire state of Illinois now has come to Christ. Again, contrast that to 1 year in our other plan. But something really interesting happens around year 14. After 14 and a half years of just one person investing in one person for 6 months, at 14 and a half years, the entire United States has reached for Christ. This is just a shade under our 17 and a half in our other method. And this only requires you investing in one person for 6 months, discipling them, sharing the gospel with them, leading them to Christ, and then teaching them how to share their faith with others. The miracle continues when we find that it's only 16 and a half years that we reach more than 7.13 billion people. Here we are, a year short of our other method reaching the states, and the entire planet knows the gospel message. Sometimes you look at your plan and think, my plan just doesn't work. My plan just doesn't make sense. But boy, if we look at what the Word of God teaches us, we can see God growing, not just His kingdom, but saving lives. You know, if we continued on the pace and method one, 50,000 people per day, we would finally get to our 7.13 billion people in the year 2407, a mere 390 years from now. If you're thinking there's a flaw, you found it. All the people we're trying to reach have since died and new people have been born probably 4 or 5 times over. As a matter of fact, there's another major flaw when we think of reaching as many people as we can for Christ, and that is we know the population is 7.13 billion people, but you know what we didn't take into account? Is that the population is growing. Every year, there are more people being born than passing away. And so I did some scientific research again. I pulled out all those big, thick books and tried to find what the numbers were, and when I couldn't find it, I asked Siri, Siri, how fast is the world growing? And she told me at a 1.12% per year. So every year, the population of the world increases by 1.12%. Now, if you're asking, have we reached enough people? If we reach 50,000 people per day, we reach 18 million people a year. You want to know what the increase in the population is going to be this year? 85 million. If we reach 50,000 people per day for Christ, we're losing ground in reaching the world. It cannot be done. How many people do we have to reach every single day just to have a hope? Probably around 630,000 people every day. And I didn't ask Siri to take into account people who are passing away and people being born. It's probably more like 650,000. Our plan doesn't work. Our plan of let the preacher share his faith doesn't work. Our plan is let a few people in the church who are evangelists go out doesn't work. But the Word of God gives us a plan. It gives us a model. It gives us a method. And it says, you, church, every individual, take one. Take what you've learned and been entrusted and share that with others and teach them how to share that with others. God's plan is so much greater than our measly plans. So how do we put this into practice? What are we to do with this information? What do we do with this mission that God has given us? Well, the first thing is this: always be learning. We need to realize we always need to be learning and growing. Some of you say, I'm not ready to share my faith right now. You need to learn how. You need to search the Scriptures and find out what you're supposed to say to someone. You're supposed to take training that we have available. You're supposed to ask questions. Get involved in a small group. You're supposed to get in a discipleship relationship where someone's pouring into you. Always be learning. Always be asking, God, how can I know more about your Word? The problem is we're so easily satisfied. It's enough for us to come on Sunday morning and hear some bald guy preach. It's enough for us just to sit once a week and open our Bibles and pray just one time a week. If we want to reach the world for Christ, we need to be asking ourselves, who's discipling me? How am I growing? What am I doing so that I will know how to share my faith with others? We need to always, always be learning. Secondly, we need to always be teaching. Some of you say, wait a second, Pastor, I'm not a teacher. I can't do that. I'm not asking you to teach a Sunday school class. I'm not asking you even to stand up in front of a large group of people. I'm asking you to teach one person, just one. And maybe right now it's your children. Maybe right now it's a family member, someone you're close with. Maybe it's even someone who already knows Christ, but you're going to teach them over the next 6 months how to share their faith, and you're going to model it so that you guys will branch out and win two others. But we need to always be asking ourselves, who are we discipling? Who are we investing in? What is it that we can teach someone else? You know, the greatest investment, those of you who have children at home, the greatest place you can be discipling is in your own home. Teaching your children, teaching your grandchildren, teaching them what the Word of God says. As a matter of fact, I recently heard just about a week ago, the fastest growing religion in the world, the only religion that is growing faster than the population growth, more than that 86 million people a year, is Islam. The Islamic faith is growing faster than the population increase. You know why? Oh, it's not because they've got some great evangelistic tactics, although they're pretty brutal with those. No, they're outbreeding everybody. They have more kids than everybody else. They have large families. And you know what? Those parents are discipling their children in the Islamic faith. What if Christians took that model, not having 10 kids or 15 kids, just deciding, I'm going to make sure I'm entrusting the gospel message with my children to make sure they know what the truth of the Word of God is? What if we started just in our own homes and said, I want my child to grow up in church. I want them to hear the Word of God on a weekly basis, and I want to model that at home where we sit down and occasionally open up the Scriptures and share what the Word of God would teach each of us. Parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, guardians, we need to always be looking to teach that next generation. We need to teach others as well. Who am I investing in that's my age or maybe around my age or lifestyle? Who can I plug into and lead to Christ? Who am I teaching? Remember the first week we said we're going to always ask this question. Who am I discipling and who is discipling me? Who am I learning from and who am I teaching? Is there someone that is investing in me and someone I'm investing in to see the Word of God come to life and reach the world for Christ? Third, we need to know the gospel. Very clearly, we need to know what the gospel message is. If we're going to follow what the Word of God says, it says, take what you have heard and entrust it to other people who will teach others. So I'm not going to pretend this morning that everyone sitting in here knows what that churchy word gospel means. I'm not going to pretend and say, okay, go share the gospel, and half of you I'll leave here and say, I have no idea what he means by share the gospel. Now, while I don't have time to go into extensive training, I would encourage you to take some training on how to share the gospel. I can just tell you what the message is. The word gospel just means good news. So I've got good news for you this morning. Doesn't start off real great. The gospel message is this. You and I, left to ourselves, will always run away from God. We'll always choose what's wrong. And I usually don't have to convince people of that truth. They know it. I've spent a lot of time running. I personally have spent a lot of time running. And the decisions we make always pull us away from a relationship with God. The Bible calls this sin. And it says it separates us from God, so we cannot have a relationship with Him. God is perfect and we are imperfect. So the gospel message simply acknowledges, I'm imperfect and I cannot have a relationship with God. So what's the good news in that? The good news is God was not satisfied to leave us there. Maybe this morning you can identify with that truth and you've been running. You've been straying away. You've been doing things according to your own plan, and this morning, you need a little bit of good news because it's pulled you away. The good news is God loves us all enough that He was not satisfied to leave us in our sins. And while the Bible says we deserve to die for our sins, God was not satisfied to allow us to die without giving us an opportunity to know Him. So He sent His perfect Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And as a human being, just like you and I are human beings, He was able to die so we don't have to. When we celebrate Easter in a few weeks, we talk about the death of Jesus on a cross, forgiving us of our sins. That's what we're talking about. Jesus Christ died so that we don't have to die. Even better, because He's God, He came back to life so that no one ever has to die when they put their faith and trust in Him. He has overcome and conquered death. That's the wonderful news, is that you don't have to be stuck where you're at. So the gospel message calls us to make a commitment in two ways. We read in Scripture that God wants us to trust Him as Lord and as Savior. Savior is where we say, God, I need You to save me from my sins. I need You to die on the cross for me. I can't do it on my own. I constantly run away. God, I need You. But then we also must trust Him as Lord and say, God, I do things on my own and I always mess them up. So I want to do things Your way. You're in control. You're the Lord of my life. You're the King of my life. What You say, I will do. The gospel message is as simple as remembering two words, Lord and Savior. God, You've saved me and You lead me. You guide me. We must know what the gospel message is. We must experience that saving power if we're going to be a part of God's will and plan. The first step in discipleship is knowing the gospel, is understanding clearly that we need salvation through Jesus Christ. And then our last application is don't wait. Don't put it off. The problem with the plan is not with the plan. The problem is not that God's given us a faulty message here. I mean, why isn't the entire world one to Christ if it's laid out there in Scripture and we can do this? The problem is that you and I have sat on our thumbs. We've decided this isn't the right life stage for us to invest in someone else. We're going to wait till maybe our kids get a little older. We're going to wait till our kids move out of the house. We're going to wait till we're done working and we're retired. We're going to wait until we feel like we have some freedom. We're going to wait until another day. I wonder why we're putting off the plan. When God so clearly said, what you know, tell to others and teach them to tell it to others, why are we putting it off? Talk about that population increase that's coming. You realize every year that we wait, there's another 85 million people who are born into this world and in need of salvation. We don't have time to sit and wait around. God's calling us right now to the plan He's put before us. So our first step is asking, do we know the gospel? Have we trusted Him? And are we willing to follow His plan for our life? And if He truly is the Lord of our lives, are we willing to be obedient and ask ourselves a question, who am I discipling and who is discipling me? Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I'm so grateful and thankful for the plan You've given us. because it's nothing we could come up with. Lord, I'd venture out and say those who were writing the scriptures as you guided and directed them were not doing the math and the numbers to try to reach as many people as they can. Lord, they just wanted to be obedient. Lord, this morning I pray you would make us obedient. Simply saying, who am I investing in, leading to Christ, and then teaching them to share with others? Lord, this morning the most important application is that we would all know what the gospel message is. Lord, how are we to win someone to Christ if we don't have salvation ourselves? And so this morning, Lord, there are those in here who are sitting and saying, I've run away most of my life, all of my life. And Lord, as they hear your plan of salvation, as they hear from your word that you're not satisfied to keep them running, that your desire is that they would trust you as both Savior and Lord, I pray that they would stop running, that they would drop everything and just run to you. Lord, I pray that you would make salvation real in each of our hearts, and in doing so, make the Word of God come alive, that we're growing and learning and reaching out to others. Lord, make us faithful disciples and faithful disciplers. It's in your name we pray. Amen.